morning. Today is Friday, August the 12th, 224th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie.
Good morning, Brian.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Plugging along. Things are always busy, but that keeps the day moving, right?
Here is a Yiddish proverb, because I know you've been a little short in Yiddish proverbs. Yeah. To a worm and a horseradish, the whole world is a horseradish.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Time to get away.
That's right.
Yeah, boy. Has it been a busy year? I mean, we hear about the fires in other places.
Right.
But we haven't had too many of them here.
Right, right. You know, it has been. I mean, it definitely, fire season has come to California. We're, you know, across the state seeing a lot of big fires, and it's taxing resources all over the place.
When we hear like Big Sur,
mm-hmm.
should we be thinking Big Sur - Humboldt County?
You know, a Big Sur area has a lot of the same. You look at down the coast, look at the Lost Coast. It's a lot of the same topography. I know people that go down on the Lost Coast and they're, you know, summertime camping. Okay, look out for the poison oak. Well, that's what the crews are have encountered down in Big Sur. It's all the same topography. And a lot of the same vegetation.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, lots of...
Interesting. Lots, so you've got some guys down there?
Yeah. Yeah, we ended up... The county sent a strike team of local government units, 5 engines. And so Humboldt Bay Fire has 2 of those engines, plus the strike team leaders.
So how does that not expose you? You got 2 engines down there.
We've got...
2 crews down there.
We've got 2 crews... And then the folks that are still here at home are stepping up to help out, and they're backfilling. So we're maintaining the coverage of 5 units in the greater Eureka area.
Overtime?
Yeah. Yep.
Is that something that is anticipated? Is that just status quo? Do you kind of pack that in when you're looking
at
your budget?
Some agencies do pack in strike team response. We don't, because you don't know year for year whether you're going to see it. What it does for us, if the crew that's out is on overtime, the state's paying the overtime covering that crew. If they're on regular time, that money's coming back to cover on the backside for the people that are filling in for those that are on regular time being gone.
So it's more a matter of staff fatigue.
It is.
Than it is finances.
It is. You know, and it runs top to bottom. You know, you've got the crews on the engines are gone, so you're backfilling behind them. You've got duty officers gone, so, you know, those that are at home pick up extra shifts.
And they expect that or anticipate that? Is
yeah.
that norm? It's
It really is. You know, we know in the summertime, normal year the state burns. We help out in other areas, and part of it's so that we know that when something, the big one hits, something happens here, people are coming back our way too. You know, we're helping out where we can. They're going to be helping us someday too.
Yeah, there's reciprocation, I think,
yeah,
is something that's pretty,
it really is.
Pretty straightforward. It was more the fatigue of the guys.
Yeah.
That you know, that's something that
exactly.
is tough to overcome.
It is. You know, it wears on everybody after a while, but you work a couple extra days. You get a day or two off, like if you're here at home. We rotate crews that are down there so that we can swap them back and forth.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Gillespie, Humble Bay Fire Chief. Bill, with the acceptance that I guess this time of the year is dry, It was interesting driving around a week or so ago down to Founders Grove.
Right.
And how the Eel River is pretty much the Eel Puddle now.
Yeah.
So even though we've gotten water, We don't have access to it.
Right.
Now, we can say pot farmers or argue other things, but nonetheless.
All the different things that contribute.
Do you have any concerns when you're going into various areas in Southern California that the water isn't there?
You know, you do with that. I mean, we got to see quite a bit of rain recovery in the north part of the state over the winter. Southern California didn't see quite as much. The areas that did get it are getting a second grass crop growing, and that's all with all the heat, that's all drying out. And so you've got all of that fuel load, and then where are the natural sources for water? You know, a lot of these, like the big fires, you know, you look at like the sand fire down in the LA basin that we had recently, or the fire in Big Sur. A lot of that, in order to support the crews that are out on those, you've got a lot of private water tenders that are brought in. So essentially it's like taking the mobile fire hydrant to the location you need it. And you know, with that, it is a shortage of water. You can be, and I can remember from the days when I was on an engine out on those type of campaigns, you hit that point, okay, we're out of water, water tender's coming, it's going to be a few minutes, so you resort back to hand tools.
Aerial application also, we have seen pretty regularly, I guess, out of Ukiah.
Right.
They run, they scoop, they drop, they do.
Right.
How effective is that?
You know, it's effective. It's especially effective if they've got a good grass fire. If they can hit the grass, the light flashy fuels, they get that retardant on them, boom. A lot of times it won't go past it. The brush or the timber, it's harder because you're trying to push all of that moisture down through the canopy. But like in the case, you'll see like in the news, they always catch the shot of a DC-10 or something on that. There are, across the West, there are what they call very heavies, the VLATs, the great big air tankers that used to be a commercial jetliner, and they drop a tremendous amount of you know, retardant down. They can, on a grass fire, they can trail it out for a mile. On a brush fire or timber fire, they can drop all of it in a specific area to try and force down through the canopy.
Kind of, it helps.
It's more of a pre-treatment just ahead of the fire versus it'll knock fire down, but then you've still got to get people back in on the ground to mop up and put out what's still burning.
So it's not a replacement.
Right.
It's just another tool.
Right. It's another tool that helps you slow the fire spread down so you can get people in there to be able to get it put out.
So it must be prohibitively expensive, because I would think let's do that first, knock this thing down before it gets big, before it runs the hill, before the wind gets behind
right.
it. Send our guys in there and let them take care of the small little stuff, and we avoid some of these huge fires.
They'll dispatch at the same time with the other resources. A lot of times the air tankers are spread out further apart in the state. Or if you've got a major fire going in one area, you might not have air tankers available immediately. And like here in the Humboldt area, we'll have an air tanker that flies out of Ronerville. We'll see air tankers across from Redding. Sometimes we'll see air tankers like in the Forest Service side out of Medford. We'll see them out of Chico, out of Ukiah. But if those resources are tied up and they don't have a lot of backfill, we might be seeing an air tanker coming out of somewhere out of Southern California, and you've got the flight time. And then for them, a lot of times they got to look, how big's the air tanker? Can it land at the closest airport that can fill it? Or does it have to go to Redding or maybe back down in the Sacramento area in the case of the big air tankers.
So what is the stuff that's in there?
It's a retardant. Back long ago, everybody used to refer to it as borate, the borate bombers. And basically, it's a fire retardant. There's a water base to it. It's got a nitrogen base in it. So it's interesting. You look at the hill below Ronerville. After you've had a summer, if they've had to dump loads or they've been doing practice, and you'll see the red streaks on the hill above Highway 36. Well, and then when the water, the rain comes, the water comes, you'll see those green up. Some of that nitrogen going back into the ground.
Kind of like what we see in other parts of the county.
Yeah, well, it greens things up.
Yeah. Are there new techniques to deal with large wildland fire? Or is it pretty much the same thing and just trying to anticipate, keep the fuel load down, that kind of stuff?
It's a lot of the same. We're seeing one of the big challenges that California has is the wildland-urban interface. We're building homes more into the wildland, so we've got homes in places that have never had housing before. A lot of the techniques are very similar to what back in the day. You're trying to either reduce the fuel, cut off the fire, or put it out with water or other means. One of the big things they've got now is the technology. They've got better mapping. They've got better weather reports, better fire forecasting, where they can take a fire, they can look at terrain, look at the weather conditions, and they can start trying to anticipate where this is going.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Gillespie, Humboldt Bay Fire Chief. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Bill, the concept of technology helping things out,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody kind of gets makes sense with that. What about the gear itself, whether it's the moon suits that
right.
you guys wear,
right.
or whether it's instead of the shovels, it's the tools that you've got along with you?
Right. We've seen over the years, we've seen vast improvements in fire engines, fire apparatus. They've got more power. They can get into areas better. You see like some of the units that we've got, four-wheel drive, so that you can get into a rougher area. And in fact, a couple of the units that Humboldt Bay Fire has really are very similar to what Cal Fire uses currently. The Type 3 or the Wildland engines. Excuse me. You see the helicopters, like the Cal Fire uses. They're in the process. They've used the Huey models, the heavy Hueys that go clear back to the late Vietnam era. They're in the process of upgrading those aircraft. So they're going to go to a more effective aircraft that's got better lift capability. But right down to like the Nomex, the protective equipment that you see them wearing. There's constant testing that goes on with that. Back 20-odd years ago, Storm King Mountain happened in Colorado. They had a number of hot shots and a number of smoke jumpers that perished in a fire. From that, it drove changes like in the fire shelter, that we're required to carry. Your last resort, the wildland community, sometimes will refer to them as a shake and bake because it looks like a foil tent. But they figured out that the older style that was in use then wasn't as effective. They've rounded the ends. They've made them lower so they didn't catch the wind as much. Made them so that there's two sizes now, so bigger people, tall, you can get into it without being scrunched up like a frog. You know, it just trying to do everything they can. And then as we talk to the technology side, where's the fire going? What's the weather report going to do that's going to drive this fire?
You mentioned mapping also, and I would think most folks would perceive that we've got the maps, you know, the topographical maps, things are pretty well dialed in.
Right.
What is it about the newer maps that are so much more effective for fire suppression?
One of the big things with the newer mapping is they're doing a lot on the large, especially the larger incidents, is they're doing infrared or satellite mapping. They're doing it at night so that they can get through smoke, through everything. They can get an actual fire perimeter, and they can see where the most active fire is burning. With the mapping technology that's there, they've got the ability to penetrate more through the smoke. So they can look at, you've got a lot of smoke coming up. Well, they can look at it from above and say, hey, this is the head of the fire, the hottest area. We need to be anticipating it's going this way now.
So it's a management tool rather than the topography of an area.
Right. Exactly. You know, you can use it to guide, okay, here's an area that we're going to have to step back farther to establish fuel break lines, or okay, we can go a little more direct. We can get closer to the fire with our crews to work, depending on the intensity.
Are there other things that are out there on the horizon that you are anxious to have brought into play?
You know, from the wildland side of it, a lot of it continues to be the equipment evolution. It's getting better equipment. You see like Cal Fire, you know, or the Forest Service, you'll see newer, more modern bulldozers, the big yellow McLeod that's out there pushing fire line. One of the biggest things, though, I think that really, really helps is when the people, especially living in those areas, those communities, they've got a water supply, and the state of California mandates that now under building. If you're in a rural area without a water supply, you have to have a water tank, a supply that can be accessed. But one of the biggest keys, you'll see neighborhoods or areas up a road, all these houses that burn, and then you'll see one house that didn't. Quite often, it's what the homeowner has done on their own to give a defensible space, keeping the vegetation down, getting rid of the dry trees and the brush, and keeping it mowed back, keeping it watered when they can. We're in a drought, so drought-resistant, you know, shrubbery, and that's the type of thing that helps.
Do you sense that there are some things that are in, I guess, the urban, I don't know what you would call it, in-city fire, that if it was tweaked or adjusted or massaged, could work in the wildlands or vice versa?
You know, I think they're similar because obviously you've got the fire, you take the heat away, you take the fuel away, the fire goes out. But they're the disciplines cross over, but they're two separate areas. You know, the structure fire, you're contained usually to a building or a block or that kind of thing. And usually you're either spreading out a little bit or it's going up. The wildland, you know, topography puts such a demand on it. The wind, we get the wind effect with structures, but it really drives the wildland fires.
So kind of like the same family, but two different personalities.
Exactly, and kind of two different playbooks.
Is airplane, in addition to the retardant, does it provide some opportunities there also that haven't, you know, you mentioned the parachuting. Well, that doesn't right. really sound exciting.
Step out of a perfectly good plane to parachute in, and you know we've got a person or two in our department that their roots in previously in the wildland side. One of our newest guys.
You were a fire jumper?
He was a smoke jumper. Yeah. Step out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah, there's got to be a little questioning going on with that mm-hmm. also. Huh.
You know, the side where aircraft really helps is the ability to be able to have an overview of the situation. You can
that 10,000-foot view.
Exactly. You're stepping back. You know, the folks that are on the ground, you're down there working. You see what's directly in front of you, what's right around you. That aircraft can give that view, and they can talk to the ground crews. They can so many things. How do we get into the incident? You know, if you can't find the right road, they'll talk. Aircraft that gets on scene will talk you in. Hey, take a right-hand turn right now. And they'll walk you in. But just they coordinate. You'll see a lot of times you'll see a smaller plane flying up. They're coordinating air tankers. They're talking to the ground. They're giving reports on what the fire's doing back to, like in our case, the Fortuna Command Center. So they're an integral part.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back with Mr. Gillespie, final segment of the week. Bill, looking at some of the different things that are out there, when does OES get involved or triggering some of the stuff that you guys were trained in back east? When does a fire get to the point where it's now one of those?
You know, you look at fires when they start getting larger than what the initial crews in the initial period can deal with. You'll see, and I step back again to Cal Fire. They're the pros in California on between mobilizing equipment, running incidents in the wildland. A lot of your larger fires, they'll bring in an incident command team. And a lot of the same when the county and when the city went back to Emmitsburg back in May, a lot of those same roles that our participants filled are the same roles that are used in a command team that takes over one of these incidents. You'll see it when we had the lightning fires last year. The county, they went ahead and they activated or spun up their emergency operations center to be able to help interface with the different communities. You'll have an actual team that runs the fire, but they may be coordinating with an emergency operations center, or if they've got multiple fires, like an area command post that's kind of monitoring and allocating resources for everything.
So it's kind of, it's there. Yeah. They do it. It's just isn't a normal thing.
Exactly. You know, and like with the state, we saw like with the fire in Big Sur, it hit a point within about a day and a half. There were no state OES resources left available. They were all committed there or in Southern California. They were stepping into the local government resources, like the units that we send out, and they help coordinate them. And, you know, it's a case everybody steps up, everybody tries to help where they can.
Is that a huge difference from what we see at the local fire with two or three trucks there and you have incident command? Is it just a dimensional?
It's dimensional. It's obviously with the big incident, it's a whole lot bigger. You've got more support aspects filled, but it's the same philosophy and the same concept. You've got an incident commander. You work down through operations for planning, logistics. You got to have food. You got to get toilets there, that kind of thing. It's just a larger scale, and it's being able to apply it, whether it's the little incident or the big incident.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
Avoid the incidents.
Avoid those incidents. Call 911 early.
See you on Monday morning.
Hey, take care.